Our subject this morning is your most valuable time. It has been said that time is the stuff that life is made of. And time is just as valuable as life, because time is life. Now, some of our time is worth more than the rest of it. As an example, you may have heard someone sometimes say, "That's the best dollar I ever spent." And maybe they had spent that dollar for a book that gave them information as to how to make money. Or maybe they spent it for some kind of pleasure that gave them lasting satisfaction. Maybe it was a dollar spent for a Bible or something like that. But you have all heard the saying, a stitch in time saves none. It simply means that the time that you spend to take a stitch in a little rip while it's still a little tear is worth more than a lot of time that it takes to repair the garment after it has torn considerably. That little time is worth more to you because it saves a lot of other time that otherwise would be wasted. The time you spend looking at a road map is time very well spent if you're taking a journey, because you can waste a lot of time by getting on the wrong road or by going the wrong direction. I remember one time over in Ohio on a cloudy day when my sense of direction wasn't as good as usual, that we went out of a city on the right highway, but we went out in the wrong direction. And if we had stopped and spent a couple of minutes looking at the map and being sure how that highway came into the city and how it went out of the city, or if we had spent a couple of minutes stopping at a filling station and inquiring, we would have saved about a half hour of time and about 25 miles of driving. So some of our time is really worth more than other parts of our time if we would use that time in the right way. A number of years ago at Aurora, Illinois, I heard an elderly minister ask a young minister who had about 2 years of his seminary work left, he said, "Don't you think you are wasting your time?" Of course, he didn't say it in that way. He was more tactful. He said, "Don't you think that it would be better if, since you are a good speaker now and you have had some education, to go out and find a church and get busy into pastoral work?" And the young man said, "No." He said, "I believe my life work is so important that the finest education that I can get and the best preparation that I can make is none too good for the work that I intend to do." And that young man finished his college education, and the last I heard, he was doing very effective pastoral work. Now, some might think that the time spent studying a blueprint is time that is wasted. But if you're going to build something, it's far better to study the plans and know exactly how it should be built. For, you know, it takes a lot of time to undo a little mistake and then to build over again. And so the time spent in studying blueprints is time that's well spent. The time that is spent on a draftsman's board before a ship is built is some of the most valuable time that can be spent. Even if the time spent would amount to years of one man's work, and I am told that as much as 15 tons of blueprint paper is used to make the plans for one large ocean liner. The time that is spent in making those drawings and studying and preparing those blueprints is some of the most valuable time that can be used in the construction of a ship. Now, of course, we're not interested today in the time that people would spend on these things that make their time more valuable. The thing that we are really interested in this morning is your most valuable time and my most valuable time. And we might as well say now that we believe that the most valuable time that we can spend is the time that we spend in prayer. I know that at first thought it might seem that this is a little foolish to say that that is the most valuable time that we could spend. But it isn't any more foolish than the time that is spent in courting or the time that a salesman might spend in interviewing his prospective customer. In fact, the time that we spend in prayer is our most wisely spent time. First, Christians have as much obligation to pray as a child is obligated to talk with his parents. Now, of course, a child may not talk with his parents or doesn't talk with them until he learns to talk. But when he learns to talk, he usually spends a good deal of time talking with his parents. We don't figure up the amount of time, but if we were to, we would find that the mealtime is taken up with considerable conversation. And there are other times during the day when there's much conversation. And a child very seldom becomes so estranged to his parents that he doesn't talk with them. At least it's for very short times, if at all. But mankind has drifted and been separated far apart from God. And even Christians many times do not spend the amount of time that they ought to in fellowship with their Heavenly Father. Now, we are not only obligated to pray, but we need to pray. Our first need probably is to overcome temptation. We cannot overcome temptation in our own strength. And there is not one of us that is exempt from temptation. Temptations are round about us all the time. And just the moment that we begin to think that we are able to overcome certain temptations, and we begin to go along on our own, then trouble comes. This has been so forcibly impressed upon my mind in the past that about 12 years ago I set down those thoughts in a little poem that I'd like to read at this time. I thought by practice, day by day, my sin I'd overcome. And when I'd practiced long enough, by practice, strength would come. To my regret, my scheme has failed, for I was tempted sore. And when I trusted in my strength, I found I'd sinned the more. Now I have come to this belief. The power that keeps me right is not my practice or my strength, but God's great power and might. So trust in God always, my friend. Forsake him not one day. There's power in fellowship with God to keep you in his way. We need to pray in order to be able to overcome temptation. No one can overcome temptation without God's help. Now, we need also to pray for guidance. We all have some common sense, or I like to think that I have some at least, and I believe that God expects us to use that common sense. But do you know the wisest men now and then make mistakes for two reasons, if for no others? One is they cannot see clearly very far into the future. And in making decisions, if a person on their own were to make absolutely correct decisions always, they would have to be able to see a good way into the future. And second, Wise men often make mistakes because they do not know all of the circumstances. They may know some of them, and a wise man will consider every circumstance that may pertain to his problem or his question, but he cannot know them all. Now, God knows the future. It is stated in the scriptures that he knows the end from the beginning. And God knows all of the circumstances that have to do with your life and mine. And therefore, we need prayer in order to have God's help to guide us and direct us in the way that we ought to go. Now, any father will help his children. He wants to help them make decisions. But how much more will God help his children? We read in Matthew, the 7th chapter and the 7th verse, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Now, our earthly fathers are interested in training us so that we may know how to make decisions by ourselves. Our earthly fathers know that we will grow up and marry and possibly move away, and we won't always be able to ask them, what should I do in this circumstance, or what should I do about this problem? And they also know that they will fall asleep in death, and we won't be able to go to them and say, "Dad, what would you do about this?" But our Heavenly Father is more interested in our daily fellowship all through our lives than he is in getting us to make decisions without asking him. Our Heavenly Father is the eternal God, and he's going to be here a long while yet, much longer than we are. And as long as we are willing to go to him and seek his guidance and his help in deciding questions and settling problems, we are assured that he will help us. So we need not try to wean ourselves from his help. We ought to depend more and more upon him day by day. Oh, there are things that we have to do. That doesn't mean that we'll not have anything to do when we lean upon him and lean not unto our own understanding. But we will find the days go better. We'll find a richer life. We'll find much more satisfaction when we fellowship with him day by day as long as we live. So we will never need to learn to get along without God if we will. I should say we will never need to try to learn to get along without God, because we cannot get along without him. And he is always ready to help us if we will seek his guidance. Now, we need to pray to overcome temptation, and we need to pray for guidance, but we also need to pray for strength. There are two kinds of strength, or I think of it as two kinds of strength. There is physical strength and mental strength, or some people might call it muscular energy and nervous energy. Or maybe it would be better to say that we have power of body and power of will, or power of mind. Now, there are things that every one of us should do in the service of God that take both of these kinds of strength or these kinds of energy in order for us to do our work effectively and in a way pleasing to him. These two kinds of strength were mentioned by Jesus when he found fault, not when he found fault, but when he found his disciples asleep. He did find some fault with them. In Matthew, the 26th chapter and the 41st verse, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had left his disciples and gone on a little way. He had asked them to watch with him while he went and prayed. And when he came back, they were asleep. And he said, "What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. They were willing to watch with him, but they were undoubtedly tired. And not being steadfast in prayer, not seeking God's strength to help them to pray with him and watch with him, the tiredness of their body overcame them. They did not ask for help to stay awake, and they didn't stay awake. They fell asleep. And so there are times when we may have the will to do what God wants us to do, but we may not have the physical strength. We just don't have it. And we so seldom think about spending a little time in prayer and saying, Lord, I know that you want me to do this, but I need strength. Grant it, dear Lord. And if we could remember to ask when we need that strength, we would be surprised at the strength that would come, that would fill our whole being and give us energy that we didn't have before. And then there are times when we have the strength, we could do it, but you know, we just say, well, we're not in the mood, or we just don't have the will. Maybe something else is attracting our attention or taking our interest. We have strength enough to do what he wants us to do at times, but we need the spiritual energy, the will to do his will. And if we would spend a little time in prayer, then we could be in the mood. We could have that desire to do God's will and do what he wants us to at the time that it needs to be done. But what is the solution? Well, it is prayer. Prayer and more prayer. But sometimes we don't have time to pray. You know, there are times we are so busy that we can't take time out to pray, especially in busy and work that takes our full attention. We have to concentrate on them. Some of us do work that we can't be thinking of other things while we're doing it. We have to do that work, and yet we're too busy to pray. But do you know, we're told that Martin Luther spent hours each day in prayer. And when he found himself overwhelmed with work, he prayed all the more. Seems inconsistent, doesn't it? That a person would spend more time in prayer when they had more work to do. But if you would stop to figure out, there are so many ways that we could have more time if we just knew how. I have thought that if I really knew how to organize my work, I could do a lot more than I do. And I know that I could spend more time in prayer too, if we would just remember to do that. God would hear our prayer and grant us many things we do not have. Now, we have considered our obligation to pray and our need to pray. Now, what is the benefit? Well, there is no one who has lived a life of prayer but what has had a life of abundant blessings. Prayer is the key to a full life. A life of prayer will bring one into accord with his Creator. And without prayer, it is impossible to be in his favor. To be in God's favor means satisfaction. It means contentment. It means power. It means joy and happiness. It gives us one that which others cannot experience. That is, others who do not have this fellowship with God. And it is only those who have fellowship with God that can do as Peter says, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I know that people of the world have never experienced that joy unspeakable and full of glory. I am convinced that many Christians have not experienced that joy unspeakable and full of glory. I was a Christian a long time before I experienced it, and it is a joy that is overwhelming, a joy that so surpasses all other joy that you cannot describe it. And I have had that joy in prayer meetings, a few of them. I have had that joy at times during prayer and meditation, a joy that just makes all other joys fade into the distance. And you too can have that joy, and we can all have it more often if we will spend more time in fellowship with God. Jesus told us that our prayer must be a prayer of faith. You know, prayer has done most of the truly great things that have been done in this world, or it has been through prayer. In Mark 11, 23 and 24, Jesus said, after he had cursed the fig tree and Peter was so disturbed that the answer or that the curse had come so quickly, Jesus said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. We must have faith when we pray, even as James said in James the 5th chapter in the 14th and 15th verses. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. David Livingston, when he was a young minister, was called one time to speak one Sunday morning at a large conference meeting. And about a dozen true Christians spent all Saturday night in prayer. And we are told that there were 500 people who accepted Christ under the influence of that one sermon. Prayer does more than we think. There's no end to the number of examples that might be given of great things that have been done through prayer. And it is certain that the time we spend in prayer is our most valuable time. Prayer may mean the difference to you between eternal life and destruction. For now, prayer will mean for us a wondrously rich life. And for the future, prayer will mean eternal life. Will you spend more time in prayer? May we close now by singing hymn number 190.
We are our prayer that calls me from love.
gracious Father in heaven, we do ask thy blessing upon us as we go from this place of worship. We pray that thou would help us, that we may spend more time in prayer, that we may have true fellowship with thee and with thy dear Son Jesus. We ask that thou would strengthen us, help us to accomplish that which is pleasing in thy sight, and may we all be found acceptable when Jesus returns. We ask these favors in his name. Amen.